Well, the Bethlehem connection continues. Turn with me to the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And I'll give you a minute to find him because he hides. He's between Jonah and Nahum, I believe. Yeah. Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. And I'm going to read down through verse 4. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. Miriam, the sister of Moses, that we've already identified as being the namesake of Miriam of the New Testament, is also known by another name. She is referred to by the sages as Ephratah, as in, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah. Could it be that the Word of God is hinting at the very name of the mother of the Messiah? Now, that shouldn't be too much of a stretch for you, given the fact that the sages for centuries have said that the Messiah would be called Messiah, son of Joseph, typifying the life of Joseph. And yet, in actuality, when Jesus was born, what was the name of his earthly adoptive father? Joseph. Thank you, Daniel. Joseph and Miriam. You see, we've seen them in Scripture before. It's not a coincidence that the earthly father of Yeshua is named Joseph, and it's not just a coincidence that the earthly mother of Yeshua is named after a woman identified as Ephratah. Is it possible that there is more in Micah than what we've ever understood? That there is a hint, there is an allusion to the very woman and her name. Let me give you the third Bethlehem connection, which is probably one you're more familiar with. Remember, we've been moving from Bethel, the house of God. Now we're going down to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I would suggest that it's probably not an accident that the one who is going to declare himself to be the sent bread from heaven, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. It's a pattern. Number four, the fourth Bethlehem connection, is the Tower of the Flock. Turn back to, well, mark your place in Micah, because I want us to come back to that. Let me see. Let's just go ahead and, no, stay in Micah. Go to Micah chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Micah 4, verses 6 through 8. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather the outcast, even those whom I have afflicted, and I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and forever. As for you, Tower of the Flock, Hill of the Daughter of Zion, to you it will come, even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the Daughter of Jerusalem. Now go back to Genesis chapter 35, verse 21. Then Israel, and I want you to notice the name change. We have shifted from Jacob in the physical to Israel in the spiritual. Whenever that happens, turn on your prophecy thinking cap. Then Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. The actual Hebrew words for the Tower of Eder are Migdal, M-I-G-D-A-L, Migdal Eder. And the commentary, or the Targum, that is related to the verse we just read in Micah that mentions Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock, says that the Messiah will come, that this verse that we just read, as for you, Tower of the Flock, Hill of the Daughter of Zion, to you it will come, even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The sages say that is a prophecy saying that the Messiah comes from Migdal Eder. Now let me tell you about Migdal Eder. It's a place just a little south of Bethlehem, between Hebron and Bethlehem, probably a little closer to Bethlehem. And Migdal Eder was a very special place because it was in that place that a very select group of shepherds maintained the flocks that had one purpose. They were not going to be sold in the market just for food. They weren't going to be traded to other shepherds. The lambs cared for at Migdal Eder had one purpose. They were going to be used in the high holy days. They were destined for the altar of God. May I suggest to you that it was not just any shepherds that the angels appeared to. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the anointed one of the Lord." In a month or so, many of you will be caught up in the holiday season singing Christmas carols, singing songs about O little town of Bethlehem. I would remind you, when you're trying to figure out why in the world would God choose a bunch of lowly shepherds. You know, I remember being at a church one time during the Christmas season, and they were doing a children's musical. And some of the commentary was talking about some of the oddities of that story, why the King of Kings and the Son of God would be born in a stable, and how completely wrong that was, and how absolutely that was just the absolute wrong place. And I wanted to stand up and scream, no, it was not the wrong place. It was the perfect place, because he was most likely born under a sukkah, the very symbol of God's desire to dwell with men. It wasn't the worst place, it was the best place that he could possibly have been born. And when I think about those shepherds and I think of all the songs we sing and all the stories we tell about why those shepherds, guys, I think there's a very good reason why it was those shepherds. I think it was because they were the shepherds of Migdal Eder. The very shepherds who are responsible for bringing the lambs into the world that had but one purpose: to go to the altar of God. You see, the story is not so anomalous when you understand the context. Everything is exactly as it ought to be. And from the very place where Rachel is now buried, and by the way, her tomb is still there to this day. People go there and pray. Many barren women go there and pray that God would open their womb. From the very place where she is buried will come the greatest message of hope the world's ever known. The sages talk about how she is buried just outside of Bethlehem, and how it's a perfect place, because later, when the children of Israel and the sons of Judah sin against the Lord, and God comes and takes them and disperses them from the land, Rachel will be weeping in her grave. She will watch them pass by.